Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to week three of season three of the Red or Dead podcast. It's myself, Elian Kutsi here. I am your host, and I'm here with the three musketeers. Well, I'm one of them, but the other two, aka Kasim Loach and Andre Dixon, the main man. Before we get on to the insipid performance that we did, oh, I can't even talk about it right now. We'll come on to that. But first, guys, how's your week? Starting with you, Andre.
Well, it didn't start off really well. My week went quite sour because of the Reds, but it's been a very busy week, and I am very happy to woosah and let all these demons out on the podcast today.
Talk to me about your La Liga. Let's talk about a different league. It's a bit more cheerful topic. Talk to me about your involvement with La Liga this week. So I saw you had an interesting chat with Guillem Balague about what's happening over there. What did he have to say?
Yeah, shout out Guillem Balague and the La Liga crew, and obviously Gary Lineker, who I got to speak to as well. It was really cool. Basically, it's to celebrate and promote the La Liga is going to be on Premier Sports, and then obviously we're one game in, so that it's going to be a really good season, especially now that there's been some extra new transfers, ins and outs. To be honest, it's really nice to be able to speak about a different league that is far more difficult than people actually give it credit for. And then the fact that that league is like pretty much dominant in Europe as well. So big up all of La Liga crew. Thank you for hosting me. But if you want to check it out, guys, go into my Instagram and vergemagazine.co.uk.
Okay, then. So the plug done. Cass, tell me about your week. Tell me about you're back in last week when we were filming. You were in Sunny Shores in Malta enjoying yourself. What's it like to be back in
back in Blighty?
Yeah. Back in London, back in Blighty. It's good, actually. I mean, I did three or four trips back to back. So it is actually really good to be back. And I'm here for a long stint now. So, I'm really looking forward to Monday. I cannot wait. Monday is going to be huge. It's going to be epic. It's the highlight of all of our weeks, probably all of our year. Because the new Game of Thrones series is back and I can't wait to see it. I don't know if there's anything else on Monday, but I'm looking forward to.
I thought he's actually lying. I was like,
I've never heard you talk about Liverpool like this before.
Yeah. I knew you guys would fall for that hook, line and sinker. No, I am looking forward to that new Game of Thrones series, House of the Dragon.
Is it all in one go or is it just...
No, it's going to be weekly. It's going to be it's a prequel series, essentially, of the Game of Thrones. But I think the good thing about this one is that the book that it's based on is finished. So the story is by the original author.
But there's no way that they can ruin, the last season.
Well, exactly. So this is a complete story they're going to tell.
We thought that was Star Wars. And look how that worked out.
Yeah, just don't talk about that.
Yeah, true. It's true. There's a lot of awful stuff around at the moment, but that's one highlight. I think that's something that we can look forward to. Yeah,
and but that being said, Star Wars franchise has got Andor coming out. So that's amazing.
That looked now because that was probably the best film of all of them, of the new ones.
I'm not interested in any of the TV stuff. The Marvel stuff is bad. Have you seen the trailer for She-Hulk? Because that looks awful.
Oh, no. That looks like one of the worst things ever made. It shouldn't have been made at all, actually. I feel sorry for the actress. I feel, because why do that to her in every sense? From the visuals to the role, it should have been something to be celebrated. And I just hope it doesn't go the way of Wonder Woman. Sorry to interrupt. We have a new guest with us, joining us out of nowhere, the mighty Suki Vogel. Talk to me, man. How's your week been?
Hey, not too bad. I'm good.
Why are you late?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
I've just finished work.
Guys, do you believe him, first of all?
No, I don't believe him. And it's also, this is your actual highlight of your week. This is the only thing you have going on at the moment, and you're late for it.
The absolute disrespect.
I mean, I can't believe it.
Disrespect.
You're supposed to be hosting. You're supposed to be hosting today. Ellie's had to come in and do an intro. We rated it. It was mediocre, but we're not doing it again. Did you have an intro prepared, Suki? Because I would like to hear it right now.
I did not have an intro prepared. I was going to wing it.
Okay, it's a good job you ain't hosting then, because last week was atrocious. We were just talking about the TV stuff that's coming up before we get into the nuts and bolts of what we're here for. Are you looking forward to the new Game of Thrones series? No, I'm guessing. He's never seen it.
I've never seen Game of Thrones, but I've got a friend.
No, Sookie, please. Please, you know what? I know that, like, just forget about season 8. But please watch the rest of them.
I'm not watching it out of a political standpoint or anything. I just haven't got
it's so good. It's so good up until the last season. And I think anyone who's listening will agree with that.
Yeah, true. But hang on. So you're not watching that. You are watching Succession though, right? That is the one thing we're all watching.
I've seen Succession.
Honest, you got that right. You guys got that right. You said I'd love it, and it's honestly, I think, hands down, one of the best things I've seen.
Do you know, I did want to
in a long time.
Yeah, it is. But I wanted to talk to you about this. We'll have to do a separate time because there's a lot to talk about on Succession. But I don't think it's I don't think it's as bougie as you lot say it is. It's not about the bouginess of it. It's the story is, because I remember when Dre was talking about it, he said, oh, you love the clothes on it. You love the fashion on it. You love the cars on it. I was like, it's not about that at all. It's not about that at all, though.
It's the mind games.
Yeah.
Are you at the moment, Sookie? Because I don't want to ruin it for you.
I'm caught up on Succession. Is there a new season now?
Well, no, they're filming it.
So Kendall's clothes, when he's conforming to his dad's will, Kendall's clothes is on point. Not when he's trying to be cool, but when he's depressed, Kendall's clothes on point.
Yeah, okay. The fashion is good, and the thing. You know what I like about it, though, mainly for me, is the fact that you get to see how when you have everything, you just don't care. Because, you know, they do all these ridiculous things and it's just so normal for them because they do it all the time, you know. And I just like that idea that, you know, they treat the way they live like it's going to Mackey's and stuff. You know what I mean? They just, you know, and it's just all so normal for them.
The helicopters.
It's just their life. Do you know what I mean? And I find that side quite interesting. It's how Dre.
I think it's just a really good, well-written show. I don't know. I don't think the bouginess or the money or the excess comes into it. It's all you could lower their status by several degrees all the way down to next to nothing, and it would still be quality because it's about the family dynamics. It's about the parental abuse. Power. It's about
cinematography. The outfits, their expressions after they've said something. It pans to the.
Well, it's the way it's filmed. It's the way it's filmed. Yeah.
Oh, mate.
It's the tiny relationships between each bit. Correct. So it's for example, it's the relationship between Tom and the family, Greg. And then also how then Tom takes it out on Greg and all that kind of stuff. It's all those little details.
It's a really good show.
I don't think it's as good as you guys like claim.
Yeah. What else are you watching that's better than that? Because
I don't want to get into this what else is better conversation, but I think
why? That's what we're here for. Just answer a question. Stop being a politician. Answer it.
Let me finish my point on Succession first. So my issue with Succession was it's all a bit samey. So this happened, and then it went back to like the first thing, then it went back. I don't know if I just watched all four seasons in one go and that was a mistake.
You probably watched one twice because there's only been three seasons.
Three seasons.
We can't even debate it because especially I think it's season two. When season two happens, that's a game changer completely.
Wait, hang on. Sorry, Dre. On spoilers, you can do spoilers once it's been broadcast and the series is like finished. You can talk
I'm
about
too
season...
courteous to people. All right, no, okay. But spoiler alert, who's listening? If you haven't watched it and you do want to watch it, then please ignore this whole chat. Forward
not
on.
The whole chat. To the next...
Well, we haven't done a spoiler yet.
I would say when there's an incident with Kendall incomplete, that there is a game changer. There's each season there's something that happens that shocks you, and that
was season one.
Shocked me. Was that season one?
Is he not on about this? Anyway, I can't say too much. Yeah,
you can.
So that's season two. The wedding.
But the betrayal at the end of season two.
Yes,
the wedding was in season one.
Not that wedding.
That's season two.
Which wedding in season two?
I think it's just this wedding.
That was season one.
That was not season one.
That was.
No way. I don't think it was. What the sisters?
I don't know
what
bootleg version you've been watching, but that was season two. When the incident happens, it changes the demographic.
Wait. The end of season one is the wedding of Shiv and Tom.
Something. Right. That is not. That's season two.
No. I'm confused now. You've confused me for no reason.
One is something else.
What's at the end of season one?
You're spoiling for people.
Okay, right, guys, let's move on. Football, right? Sookie, talk to me. So, obviously, the first thing we've got to do.
Wait. Sorry. Just
still going on.
Season two. The end of season two is the yacht. The end of season one is the wedding. I just watched season two.
I think Cass is right.
Yeah, I just watched season two just yesterday. It is the yacht and the betrayal is at the end of season two.
Yeah, he's right. The yacht is season two. He's right. He's right. He's right.
He's right because it's
ruining it for people. Yeah.
He's right. Anyway, Suki.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, Cass, you're right.
I'm going to contest this.
I'm joking. Dre still can't say it. That's the whole argument we've had all week. When I'm right, you better start saying it. I'm going to get really pissed off in a minute because I'm right about this and I'm going to be right about the other stuff that we're going to talk about as well. You better start
admitting
it.
I'll give you this. Yield. Before that happens with the other thing.
Yield. You better start yielding.
This guy thinks he's some kind of emperor.
Yeah, exactly.
He's kind of the emperor. Anyway, Suki, please. Bring back some footballness to this podcast, please.
Oh, I'm not sure I'm ready. We're having a good conversation on Succession.
Yeah, I know it's better to look at stuff like that at the moment than the way we've been playing on the pitch, but that's why people are here. So we have to deliver. We have to give them our thoughts. We have to try and cheer them up. We have to give them hardcore facts as well as to where we're at.
All right, Suki, while you're going to talk us through this, can you start by telling us how many points we've got on the predictions?
We're going to be talking about the game. Let him host.
Got zero, dude.
I'll start with the predictions.
Yeah.
So Dre is sitting on 0 points. You've got Ellie sitting on 0 points. You've got Maria sitting on 0 points. You've got Suki sitting on 0 points. And then finally, in the lead, or jointly, shall I say, with 0 points, is Cass.
So we've all been wrong constantly.
So there you go.
All right.
So
it's fair to say we've been surprised by the form. All right.
I don't think that's a shock. We expected two wins, right? Coming off these two games, Fulham and Palace.
But Suki, all right, talk to me about how did you feel when you saw the starting lineup? What was it? What was your mood?
Oh, do you know what? It wasn't the lineup I wanted. I was a bit shocked. It was the Phillips one that shocked me most. I just thought, if you've got Gomez fit, why are you starting Phillips? I like Phillips from a couple of seasons ago. I want Phillips to do well, but come on, Gomez is way better. Gomez was our main central defender with Van Dijk in that season. We won the Premier League and he was amazing. So I'd put Gomez up there when he's fit. So yeah, it was really frustrating actually when I saw that. And actually what led to the first goal was... Phillips mistake, and I just don't think that goal would happen with Gomez on the pitch. And the really annoying thing is actually it's the same old story actually with Liverpool. I'm getting a bit sick of it. You don't see City doing this. City obviously drop points occasionally too, less often than us, but probably more often in 2022. But we seem to, when we're attacking, we just seem to lose all concentration on in the back, and it's just really frustrating. And we have about so many attacks. We should have scored 3-4 goals up first half. Nunes had two absolute sitters, really, which you should have put away. And Salah had a couple he probably should have put away as well. So we should have scored 4 goals, but then they just have one attack. And it was a great finish, to be fair to Zaha, but it's one attack, 1 goal. Same story, 6 games in a row where we've conceded first.
So, Cass, would you agree with that? Would you say Stucky's got it about right, pretty much?
I mean, I definitely on the lineup. I don't know what he's doing playing Phillips. Why sign Gomez on a new contract if you're not even going to play him? That doesn't make much sense to me. Apart from that, we all wanted Nunes to start, so we got our wish. Midfield was light, but it's just going to be light because we're not signing any players, so that is a problem. I didn't realize that stat about us conceding first until the game itself, and then everyone was talking about it. I think, was it 6 games in a row, which is a big problem. But I think, we're not playing well. That's the bottom line. We are just not playing well. A lot of the problems are coming from midfield, but I mean, neither game that we played so far did we deserve to win. So you get what you deserve. And also, you know, people saying that we've easily got enough to beat teams like Fulham and Crystal Palace. We definitely don't. We can stop that talk right now.
I mean, would you not say that we played better though against Crystal Palace than we did against Fulham, Dre?
Right. What I'm saying is this, is with personnel that we have, We have enough. We have enough again because I have to dumb it down for dummies. So what I have to, let me just break it down again.
All right.
We have enough personnel, and I truly believe that majority of Liverpool fans would actually say, on paper, the teams that are put out, we expect to win. There's never a time that we look at that team and say, we might not like it. We might not like Phillips being in it, but Phillips has obviously given some good performances. He should not be starting for Liverpool at all. He's not up to Premier League standard. I think that he's good in probably the Championship, top tier Championship or one of the lower teams, but he shouldn't be starting for us because the way that we play doesn't suit him. If we played under Roy Hodgson or Rafa, or defensively, then that's different. No, Rafa, we used to win as well, but
sometimes,
it's just
sometimes.
A different style of play. Like, yeah, it doesn't suit a high line. Yeah, just be quite clear. I think we are, he should have started Gomez. I heard it was a precaution, but then if he's not fit enough to be, play, shouldn't be on the bench. So he should have just started him. And then, I do believe that if Gomez started, then we would have won the game. Not that we deserved to, because Palace played really well. But what this team's got to realise is that every single game is a cup final. When you are smaller teams, you're playing against us, Man United, Chelsea, Man City, Tottenham.
I disagree with that whole mentality. Teams don't go to Man City thinking, oh, this is a cup final. If we turn out, we're going to win this. They just go there thinking, let's keep it sensible. Let's keep the scoreline down. If we lose 1-0, that's fine. We got away with it and we move on to the next game. But they're coming to us now thinking like, oh, we can score against them first.
Yeah, but when your team
against them first and we can get something.
Like if you see a weakness in the team or the team's performances isn't well, when they smell blood in the water, all the teams obviously do the same thing. So that's why everyone does the thing with Man United and the rest of the teams that aren't playing well. We are just not playing well. And there's only so much that Klopp can cover this up with other nonsensical excuses. It's his choice to play Phillips.
Yeah,
it was his choice.
I just
think that... at the end of the day, I'm disappointed. I haven't even watched anything to do with football actually this whole week because it's depressing. This is season 8, Game of Thrones. This is The Last Jedi. The whack films that have come out, this is the equivalent of our season so far.
So this is why...
But you have to give it 5 games before you can fully assess it. I don't know why you're being so negative for.
I don't know why you're talking.
5 games. Because 5 games.
I'll give you 5 what you're games. Looking
for. So you're looking for 5 games.
Yeah, that's fine. But at the end of the day, I can be disappointed after 2.
You're already saying it's going to be season 8 this
but
and season 8 that.
As I said to you, I support the team. I don't look to criticise or critique
guys, quickly,
the team.
Before, well, let me just give a context to this conversation. Now, yes. After that game on Monday, Cass and Dre had, I think it was a 150-odd message battle in our group WhatsApp about...
It wasn't a battle. It was a demolition. But go on.
Various viewpoints.
Well, you might. I don't know
what we could achieve this season. Now, Dre believes that what we could, even if we sign no players, we'll still do fine. Is that correct, Dre, or have I got that wrong?
No, I. It's not that I want us to sign no players. I do want a midfielder signed very quickly, if not 2 players now, because we are running low on players, and the form is terrible too. But what I'm saying is that. They're not going to sign the players, so then you might as well just accept they're not going to sign any players. Klopp has said they don't need to sign any players, so therefore you should go on that information rather than...
And going on that information...
Yeah, Cass, please.
I think what Dre is saying is what we're all saying, is that we don't think he's going to sign anyone. But no. The difference of opinion here is that where do you think we'll finish when we don't sign any players? Now, you're saying we'll be fine and we'll still win the league. I'm saying we 100% won't.
With the way that we're playing right now, if we're just taking a snapshot of the form and the way that the players are playing now with the injuries and everything that's in consideration to the situation we are now, of course not. We're not competing. We're competing to stay in the league.
Top 4.
But what I'm saying is that when players come back and the form returns... Hopefully it does, because that's all we've got is optimism. Is that I believe that we can compete.
Can I just get Suki to answer the whole... Suki, you answer it, because I don't think it comes across when I say it. It sounds, or Dre hears one thing when I say it. But Suki, yeah. Why do you think there's a flaw in the logic of saying when our players come back?
Yeah, there's a flaw, because when was the last time we had a full fit squad? Your argument is based on the fact we're going to have now for the rest of the season full fit team. That's not going to happen. Like, as soon as we get players back, people get injured. Bobby has got injured multiple times since he's come back. Okay. Jot has been injured multiple times. Kate has been injured multiple times. Ox has been injured more than available. Hendo gets quite a lot of injuries. Thiago now has missed so many games. That's most of our midfield. Jones is injured, although I don't really rate him anyway. Harvey's come back from a long injury. We'll see if he can stay fit. These are a lot of our players, which end up Matip, another one who constantly gets injured, and even Ali gets injured more than most of the goalkeepers. So I don't think this argument of when our players are going to be back is a good enough argument. It's if we're not buying players because we've got sick notes in our team, then we should have offloaded some of these sick notes in the summer. And look, I think we can. I think we can still challenge. I don't think our injury situation will be as bad as it is now. It'll get better. I think we can, and it's more hope than anything else, I'd say. Yeah. I hope we can put up a challenge. But I am worried if we don't sign a player. Like, I just don't see how you can compete with the City. I look at the City team. They dropped points against West Ham last season. They didn't play their best against West Ham this season, but got two goals and won fairly comfortably in the end.
Yeah, I mean, just to put it into context, guys, so I'm in between Dre and Cass on this one. I don't think there's no chance that we win the league if we don't sign any players. I don't think there's no chance. I think there's a very little chance, but I don't think there's no chance. I just think that, but we obviously need to sign some players. Now, to give it context into our position right now, we start two games badly. If, for example, we were to sign a couple of players, or even if not, if we beat City twice, and win all our games, we're above them. First thing to understand. No. First thing to understand, right? And at the same time, if we lose to Man U on Monday, we're below them. So we're literally teetering on the brink right now. I think the next game is I said the last one could dictate this how the season goes, and it's not looking good, I'll be honest, but things can change. Spank Man U and everyone's happy again.
The United games must win, in my opinion.
100%. The last one was as well, but this one certainly is now, you know. But, you know, this one,
we drop points against United. I just don't see us how we come back against the City team for how little points they drop, and then we've already dropped 6 points within the first three games.
I mean, the reason you know what I say about us beating City twice, we actually beat them in the Community Shield, right? You know, and it's been a while since we've actually beat them. Well, actually, no, to be fair, we beat them in the cup as well. We've actually beaten them a couple of times now, so it's not that ridiculous to think.
But that's not with the lineup that we have right now.
It was very similar. It was the same.
We got outplayed. We got outplayed in the league, though, against.
Yeah, but it's the same. It's the same. It's the same lineup we started with in Fulham was the one that we played in the cup. So there was no reason for that line to play so badly. I agree we played badly, but I will say we played better. I'm going to try and pick a few positives out for us to sort of focus on. Let's talk about Harvey Elliott. I mean, young lad coming into the team, and he played like a real boss. I still have nervousness about him tracking back a little bit, but I mean, he was the bright spot, right, Dre? He's your man.
He is the best performing midfielder that we have. Bottom line. You know, you lot tell me who's performing better than him.
No, this season, yes. This season, yes, I'll give you that. But
he's our most okay midfielder. I don't think he's pulled up any trees. He hasn't really done
he needs
much.
Goals and assists. He needs goals and assists.
Goals and assists.
He's the best of a bad form midfield that we have.
I agree with that.
The two games, he's been the best in the midfield. Whether that best is good or not good, he's been the best.
I'm saying he's the best of all the time, but I'm just saying that right now he's the one.
No, this is positives, remember. This is the positive bit. So we can, let's just celebrate him. So guys, don't knock it down. Yes, he's great. Harvey Elliott's fantastic. Another positive performance. I thought Gomez, when he came on, looked like Gomez of old, to be honest. I thought he looked a bit more like his old self. What are your thoughts?
Gomez is my defender. I think he should be starting more games. I think I said that even when Matip was in at the end of last season. Because, I mean, you're saying we started this season badly. We didn't finish last season great. We went behind in four games before this season started. That's where that stat comes from. We didn't score in any of the finals that we played. We didn't play well in the Champions League final anyway. We didn't finish last season that well. So the team was ready for a change before the start of this season anyway. let alone how poorly we've started now. So I think we needed a few changes across the board. And on that list of injuries that Suki was going through, we didn't even mention, I mean, Tsimikas played in the game. He was awful. He came on for
that's actually the first bad game that I've seen him play.
And in fairness, he hasn't played much and he's coming back from injury. If anyone
wow. Well, because he's injury prone, so he wasn't good.
All right.
Trent wasn't this good, the but the guy
this is the positives.
Oh, this is the positives. Yeah. Well, who had a positive game? I mean, I think one of the positives was Crystal Palace, actually. They look quite good. I would say, you know, when we said that they've got no dangerous players, I think that was a bit of a misnomer. They've got quite a few players that I would that, take.
We said the player, there's one dangerous player.
And I think they've got more than one. I think Eze looked good. I like Eze. Yeah, I would take him.
Fantastic footballer. But as many players I'd take right now, to be honest. All right. Yeah. So let's look forward. Well, to the big one, to the game.
Wait, before we move on to that, can we, like, I think the other teams are playing well. We have to acknowledge other teams are doing well.
Chelsea-Tottenham, all right.
That was a great game. Everything right. I want from a game. If you draw a game like that, I can't complain. But if you draw a game like we did against Fulham or like we did against Crystal Palace.
You can't stop. We haven't talked about Luis Diaz and that ridiculous solo goal.
We haven't talked about Darwin. You can't not.
No, but I said one up, one down. All right, let Dre talk about Diaz because he has been calling for that player to get a goal.
Yeah, he did get his wish.
All right, go on.
That is true. I've been calling out his performances and it was flattering to deceive me, but he actually is the person who stood up. You know, they should actually tell him that we're 10 men down, so we're one man down. The next time we start against Man United.
We're about 10 men down, to be fair.
That man played out of his skin. Like, incredible, he literally, right? You know, he tracked back. He was taking on everyone. He was, like, literally, at that point, the only hope that we had to actually, you know, potentially win in the game. So, you know, to salute to him. I want to see more of that, though. But you don't always have to score a worldie. You know, I wanted him just to score simple goals as well.
Just goals. And that's what I must admit impressed me with Nunes. The games he's played so far is that he just scores. You know, they're not the most beautiful goals, but he just scores the ugly ones. But speaking about ugly, Suki, seeing as you brought it up, can you try and find a positive in the red card somewhere?
I really can't. It was just, I'm laughing and it really isn't funny. It's so bad. We're 1-0 down at this point. It was quite early on in the second half as well. So it was a lot of time to be playing with 10 men when you're chasing a game that you should be winning actually at your home ground. I don't know what he's thinking, to be honest. Like, it's not like Anderson was doing anything any other Premier League defender won't do to him. Like, he's going to get that every game this season. He's going to get that worse in some games. The only thing I can say is I genuinely don't think he thought in that moment. I genuinely don't think he can explain it. I just think he knew the ref was looking at him because he got the ref's attention just before. So it's not like he's trying to do something maliciously just before, like, hiding it from the ref. I think he just genuinely got the nudge. He's then reacted. And he's just seen red. And I think it's almost like it's sometimes when you turn around and you push somebody after being pushed, that would be a normal person's reaction. His reaction was just to go with his head. And it's like,
He's a finisher. That's what he does.
And then it's almost like before it's too late, it's just happened. And I just don't, it's like, and then I think the whole refuse to go off is, I don't think he could believe it himself. I think he'd almost just been like, what have I done, kind of thing. And it's like, it's almost like a push. He didn't cock his head back for a headbutt. He almost just, like, went to his face, but then he just nailed him.
It was like an uppercut headbutt. So
yeah, exactly.
I think he turned around and the guy just happened to be real. I don't think he intentionally headbutted him. You're gonna get sent off in England for that.
Man.
Stupid decision. Let's wind it back. Right. He played crap that game. Like, he was not good.
His whole performance
and the whole long ball thing that we was doing, trying to find him all the time, it just reminded me when we bought Andy Carroll. Not calling him Andy Carroll. I'm just saying that the way that we was just trying to get him service was just lumping it in every 2 seconds. The crossing was poor. When he actually had the chances, he was poor. And I think that was just out of frustration, him arguing with the, what's the defender's name?
Was it Hansen or something? I kind of agree with Ray on this, that I'm actually less worried about the temperament and the headbutt and more worried about the performance up until that point, because he was poor. He was poor. If he had a goal in that game, or if he had a few chances and he did that, I'd be like, all right, no worries. Back in free. All players, Suarez used to get sent off every now and then.
Salah takes a lot of chances to score as well, let's not forget. You know, I think I'd be more worried if he wasn't getting positions to score. What I will say is that he does get a lot of chances to score. Not many of our players do, but he does. Every time he's on the pitch, he gets a chance, at least one. So
they need to sort out the way that they play, because Salah was as wide as I've ever seen him. He was playing like how he played when he was at Chelsea. And it was just like, it was terrible. So as
Salah's become a winger now. I don't like that.
The whole team was frustrated because it was like our performance was disjointed. It was patchy. Optimism is still there when fingers crossed, we start having better luck. You know, that this witch that
Signings talking luck, about is gone. Planning.
Oh my God. Planning.
You can't talk about
luck. I just don't think, just being honest, I'd be very surprised, as I was when we got Diaz, if we actually get anyone.
Okay, let me ask you conversely. Do you think Chelsea's form's luck or Spurs' form's luck?
Chelsea have won one game and drew one game.
No. But what I'm trying to say is that would they have done that if they hadn't have done what they've done in the window?
I mean, they're not finishing the window for starters.
And they're not finished. But I'm just saying, like they.
Yeah, but you know what?
One of the deepest squads in the Premier League. I think probably, arguably, because behind Man City, I'd say they had the strongest squad apart from Man City, and then we're probably third-ish, maybe not currently though, till we sold three of our strikers and only brought one in, but that's another story. But yeah, go on, Dre. You were saying, sorry, about Chelsea.
No, I'm just talking about like a wider point. There seems to be, like, in all the chat groups that I've seen, not chat groups, but all the platforms that I've seen, pages that I've seen on Instagram, so forth, in the comments, that there's like half and half, 50, you know, war between people that are just, you know, supporting the team. And this is not even us. Like, I think Cass and I are a reflection of what's going on in the fandom of Liverpool world, where I feel that some people are, you know, very much angry at the team. And I understand why Cass is. And there are some people who are like, give it time. But I'm running out of patience with illogical stuff. So, you can't have the amount of midfielders that we have that are prone to injuries. Just unluckily, they perform well when they play well, and I'm very grateful for everything they've done. But I just feel like sometimes the committee that they have is too stubborn with whatever plan that they've got. So if you have to pay, and I'll probably change my mind on something I was going to say from last week, which is like, I do believe in being, you know, sensible with money. We're not City, we're not you know, Chelsea, where we're just going to be spending money left, right, and centre. I can't even knock Chelsea anymore because they've got a new owner who's going to be running.
We're not Wolves.
Differently. But we're not. I don't know what Wolves are doing.
So your boy Nunes, who you said was too expensive for us, has now gone to Wolves for 38 million quid.
That was my last. Like, I don't see how you don't see that we should have someone like him in the squad. I don't see how that is. So who are you looking for? And if I understand for next season, we're looking to change the whole midfield and all those types of things. But I just don't want to put all of our season's hopes on overpaying for a 19-year-old player.
Next season, though. We're not even... That's what I'm saying.
I mean, they might have to bring it forward.
Why write off a season with one player? You can't do that. But also, what I'll say is there's a document that's resurfacing. It's critique of Klopp's time at Dortmund. And it said one of the biggest failings was that he relied too heavily on aging midfielders, and he got too sentimental, and he didn't improve that position. And it's like... It's obviously a flaw that he has, the sentimentality. It's also a strength he has. So I don't want to knock it. I mean, it is definitely a strength. The players have run through a wall for him. But when they can no longer run, it's time to freshen it up.
I just think you need to learn at some point as well. It's Dre, you used the word unlucky when describing the injuries. And I think you're unlucky for a little bit, fine. But I think when you're not learning from mistakes. This has not been the first time we've spoken about this. This has not been the second time or third time or fourth time or fifth time. This is however many windows we've been speaking about some of these injury-ridden players. And we're still not learning. We're still not buying the right players in midfield. We're not replacing these. How long have I've been calling for Milner to not be playing in our team for so long? I like Milner in the background. I feel he cost us important points last season. If I look back at the Chelsea free kick and all the needless fouls and that kind of thing. And we're starting game two with Milner in midfield and Phillips in defence. That's game two, man. Like, that's not unlucky. That's a choice we're making to like not buy. And
what's scary is the wing. I thought, you know, when we needed a goal, the only player on the bench we could bring on is Carvalho.
Yeah, that's mental. That's mental.
I mean, the boy's ready, but and he could have and he was unlucky for that shot not to go in. To be honest with you, he could have scored.
Yeah, but hey, we're Liverpool Football Club, man. We're not talking.
But
about,
this is my point. I understand what better you're saying.
Palace brought on Olise. He's better than any option we had on our bench, and they had more in stock. They could have brought on another 2-3 players better than us up front that we had.
Why you mention who is there to buy? I look at most teams in the Premier League. We could easily buy any of those players, and they'd add to our midfield, even if it's a stopgap for a season.
Why are Chelsea looking to buy Aubameyang now? We should be looking at that player. He's played with Klopp before. We need a striker. If we're looking for a short-term fix, there's who you need to get. There's other players. Like Barcelona are going to be flogging most of their players anyway, but there's other players around the league. Nottingham Forest are dropping 25 million on a player that I've never even heard of today. And that's who you know, we can't even compete with that. That is where we're at. We're not even willing to drop money on average midfielders, which is what we need to do. And Nunes is like that Nunes argument from last week. It just looks more and more ridiculous the more we talk about it. Like, whatever the fee was, if Wolves are just going to go in there and no problem, just pay it. And we're still saying, oh, it's overpriced. It's 10, 15 million overpriced. But we're not even in the same ballpark as Wolves. And
I agree with you on that, Cass. But there's two sides to it. Like, our transfer business up until this point pretty much has been very impressive at the least. You know, there's not many, like when you're watching Sky Sports, if you're looking at BT or whatever, and people talking about our transfer committee and our transfers that have come in, everyone's always applauding and lauding our transfers. But the problem is that it's when things go wrong, they don't have the adaptability to be like, you know what, we need to move whatever plan we had for next season forward now. But we're not going to be buying aging players of 31, 33. Yeah, I was surprised that we got, Thiago. I was surprised that we got him because that's not normally the way that they do things. So,
all right, just to finish up on that one final point I'll say is, I think our scouts are tremendous. There's no doubting the scouts. But we just need to pull the trigger more often, and that's what we're saying. Right, so finally, guys, okay, it's the big one. It's the one we always look forward to. I'd say the most for me this in the season is the game at Old Trafford because it's the chance to make the most noise possible. So, man, you've had a stinking ass week, losing 4-0 to Brentford. It's the one thing that saved my weekend again, or my week, should I say. So are you feeling confident again for Monday? Okay, I'm seeing some shaking heads. So I'm going to go to the first shaking head. Suki, why are you not feeling confident for Monday?
I'm going to predict we win at the end of this call, and I think we're still good enough to win because as bad as we've been, United have been worse in my opinion. But I'm not as comfortable as I was 2 weeks ago coming off the Charity Shield game, and they're bad, they're really bad. But the reason I'm shaking my head is there's a worry if we lose this game or if we drop points, it's going to have such a negative impact on us. That's like, I don't know how I'd show my face if I genuinely lost United. They're so bad at the moment. They are. And it is. And for me, that is going to be season over. I just think if you're 6 or 7 points down, City already, 35 games to go, I don't see how when City have dropped less than 20 points each of the last however many seasons they've won, how you catch that up. And we're not going to drop less than 11 points, are we, for the rest of the season? So City got 95 points last season. That's 19 points dropped. We're already going to drop. If we already dropped 6 or 7, I think that's season over, to be honest. Which is a shame, actually, because I don't want to be competing for second. I don't want to be competing for third. I don't want to be competing for fourth. I think we're good enough to be competing for first, and or we should be competing for first. And
we should be. We ain't good enough for that.
There's no excuse not to be. That's
what it's directly on top and transfers.
Yeah. Okay. So, and what about you, Suki? Sorry, Suki. Cass, you shook your head as well. Obviously, I was going to say, but yeah, you're not feeling.
Yeah, confident. But they're poor, Man United, but they're signing a midfielder to try and address one of their main problems, Casemiro. They've been in for other players. Yes, they haven't come off, but they've gone in for Casemiro, 60 million. They're trying to address the problems they've got. They've got a new manager. If I was them, I would actually say, look, you've got to give that manager some time. And they're coming from a low. They're coming from a real low. They haven't really won anything major for the last 10 years. We are, you know, champions from 2 years ago, Champions League final. We shouldn't even be in the same conversation as them. And yet here we are going into a game saying, these are two really bad teams at the moment and they're near the bottom of the table and they're former giants or whatever. I think we're in a really bad way. I won't do the prediction yet, but it's coming. You know what's coming.
Dre, come on. What do you think? How are you feeling?
I think we've got enough to beat Man United, but I'm more hopeful for the actual, you know, for the performance to be good more than anything else.
Who do you put in front now that Nunes is out in this game? Or do you change the whole formation?
I think you have to change the formation, unless Bobby's coming back, apparently.
Firmino is back. You trained today. You trained full session. Normal.
Who's playing midfield, though?
I know. Naby's back fully as well. Okay. Anyway,
I'd give Naby a go.
You know what? I'm nervous, but I think it could be party time. I think it could be party time. No, I'm not even serious.
Don't give us hope, Ellie.
Yeah, mate, I will.
You're going to take me with you.
No, because you know what, right? Let me explain why. I don't think we're as bad as we thought in that game against Palace. I thought...
You weren't bad in Palace.
We weren't that bad, right? So form-wise, okay, Fulham game, we were dreadful. Community Shield, we were great. Fulham game, we were dreadful. Palace game, we actually were good, but wrong subs and stupidity from certain players, right?
I'm starting
lineup. Yeah, exactly. Wrong starting lineup, wrong players, and stupidity from certain players. Now, Manu, we know it's going to be Alisson and goal. Solid, right? It'll be Van Dijk and Gomez because Klopp's already said he'll start.
Are you sure?
That's what he said. That's what Klopp said today. That's what he said. I don't know if he's talking about it, but he said that.
He said we had a witch. He said we had a witch as well.
Yes, he said that too. I believe whoever starts, I just don't believe Trent will be as bad again, and it's a Man U and he's always up for that. I can't see him being as bad again. I can't see Robbo being as bad again. And if he doesn't play, I can't see Tsimikas being as bad as Robbo has been, right? In midfield, it'll be Fabinho. Again, he's not been great, but I can't see him being as bad. No, he won't be as bad again. We've got Naby.
But he's sluggish. He's sluggish
and,
now.
And on the right, I think we'll play... Most likely he'll go with Henderson, but Henderson's was actually, to be fair, Henderson isn't fully fit. He's seen doing some running. So I think Elliot might start, and I think that's tremendous. So Fabinho, Naby and Elliot, and then up front, we'll have Bobby, Diaz and Salah. And I just think that against that Man U team, you know, yes, our midfield might not be popping, but it's certainly, certainly better than theirs. Yes, our forward line isn't completely gelling, but I think actually our forward line's not been the issue. The issue with the Palace game is that the player got sent off, you know, but we were creating chances.
It was awful
delivery. Awful delivery. Never seen us put the ball in the air so much. Even after Darwin went off, like Hendo kept doing it as well. I just don't understand what was happening. I'm like, why are you wasting the ball?
Correct. And I don't think it will be as bad as that again. I just don't think we'll... I just can't see us getting it that wrong again. And I think Bobby...
I mean, you did say that last week. You did say that last week after the Fulham game.
No. We were better than Fulham. I said we'd be better, but I only predicted 2-1, mind you. So it's not like... I said it'd be a tough game, and it was a tough game. And it could have been 2-1. But anyway, right. All I'm saying is that I think it could be party time. I think when our heads are down, when our backs are up against the wall, when we got a point to prove, then we step up. And I believe that, you know, I generally think that Man U are going to be scared. Old Trafford are going to be scared. And the moment anything goes slightly negative,
they're going to capitulate.
It's all us. It's going to be all us. So I think we're going to come good. Anyway, all right.
What I will say is Trent needs to stop wearing this head thing because whenever he's worn it, he's played awful after.
That brain sensor thing
during his training. Yeah. He wore it ahead of the Real Madrid final and he ended up having a nightmare and losing. He wore it just before this season and there are loads of like memes going around social media saying, oh, Trent's wearing this thing from Real Madrid game again and he's had two bad starts.
I don't know what this thing is. I've not seen it.
It's really clever, actually, but it's going to be some new technology that analyzes the way your brain reacts when you're under pressure, taking free kicks and stuff. So it can help you get in that perfect mindset every time for consistency purposes. And they seem to, apparently they did it for penalties. And that's why we were so good at penalties in the two cup finals we won. But anyway, guys, it's that time. We're coming to the end. Starting lineup and score prediction for Monday. I'll go with you, Dre, first, please.
I'll go with what you said, the same lineup that you had.
Oh, and prediction scores?
I'm just thinking at our worst when we had our really bad injury crisis. And then I remember Solskjaer put out a full team. He saved that team to knock us out of Champions League contention. And we gave them a paste in their own ground. And that team was way worse than what we've got now. Nice. So I'm going to go with... with a 2-0 plus.
Okay, cool. Cass, what do you have to say about the lineup and obviously this prediction score?
So lineup, I think it will be Gomez. It has to be Gomez in the back. I would go with Fabinho, Henderson. I think he'll go Milner for solidity. Up front, I actually would like to see Carvalho start, but that's not going to happen. I think he's a little bit too conservative for that. So I think it will be Diaz, Salah and Firmino.
So you think in terms of Carvalho starting, he'd play Firmino's role? You're thinking like a number 10?
I would actually put Salah or Diaz right down the middle to scare them a bit. I would just, and then Carvalho maybe creating for them, coming in a bit, just doing something a little bit different. But I don't think he'll do that, which is disappointing. But I'm going to say it's going to be a 1-1 draw. I won't be surprised if we lose this game.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say about that.
Two teams near the bottom of the table. No wins on the board for either team.
Cass, the way we play, come on. We've not been as bad as them. Even the game in Fulham, we weren't as bad as them, performance-wise. Not even close.
But they were better in the second half against Brentford.
Also, they've not even scored a goal yet.
Against Brentford. Actually, I think the worst thing is, I actually think them getting such a pacing against Brentford is actually a bad thing because he is now going to make his decision. Varane's going to start the game. He's a much better defender than anything else they got. I think he's going to fix up that midfield a little bit more. I think Ronaldo's going to start. I know Ronaldo is a divisive character, but he gets goals. I just think they're probably going to fix them up a little bit. So, I think 1-1's a very, very fair assessment. And I would not be surprised if we lose that game.
Fair enough. Suki, what do you think in terms of the lineup and the score?
So I think lineup, he's going to go with the same back four Angoli we've discussed. I think he will go
That's
Naby.
Gomez, to clarify. That is Gomez,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Gomez, yeah. I think he will go Naby in midfield with Fabinho. I can't see not playing one of Hendo and Milner, actually. I think he wants one of them two on the pitch. So I kind of hope it's Hendo. And then up front, it's going to be Diaz, Bobby and Mo. I'm going to go for a 2-0 as well as Liverpool.
Yeah.
I think we've got enough to beat United.
I'm going to go with a 4-0. 4-0 win Liverpool. And, I'm going 4-0. I think that if we can get two, we can get four with United. The moment that we score one, it's not that they're going to kick back and
we'll be the only ones who haven't scored four against them.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry?
No, so we'll be the only ones who haven't scored four against them, if not.
Yeah. Maybe I should go higher. I'm going 5-0. 5-0. I'm going for a 5-0 win. They're going to feel the wrath.
It's the same that Diaz is not playing in this game because I think this is like tailor-made for him. Nunes isn't playing in this game because I think this is like tailor-made for him to have like that game.
That's the bit that really annoys me about the Red, actually. It's just, I really wanted him to play United. and yeah. He just can't.
Yeah, him against Martinez.
Who have City got, by the way?
They're playing tomorrow. I think they got Bournemouth, I think, actually.
No, they beat Bournemouth 4-0 already. They have... City are playing... Not tomorrow's... They got Newcastle away on Sunday. 4:30 kickoff.
Okay.
Draw. What about Tottenham?
Tottenham are playing tomorrow.
Tottenham have got Wolves tomorrow.
Early kickoff tomorrow. So that's a tough one. And Chelsea... Chelsea have got Leeds away 2:00 on Sunday.
Right. Okay. So who are your early, if you could pick out two teams and don't come out of no nonsense about Arsenal, Cass?
I am saying Arsenal. Seriously
think that Arsenal have the squad in depth to compete for the Premier League?
I'll go on the record now and tell you that if we don't sign a midfielder, Arsenal finish above us.
Oh dear.
Ooh, oh, I don't think that's going to happen.
There you go. Write that down. Put that in your little prediction sheets. Okay, get that Excel sheet.
I disagree with that. I think you're too quick to write off Arsenal because of your biasy, Dre, to be honest.
No.
Yeah, it is. You can't deny Arsenal being good. I think Arsenal will get top four, I imagine.
I think they've got... No.
They've got Bournemouth away tomorrow at 5:30. Yeah. We'll see what... That's a real
test. I think they've got a decent... They've had a nice run of games. They've got a decent first 11.
They beat Palace away. We couldn't beat Palace at home.
Yeah, but that's fine. I don't think there's a comparison between our squad and them. Like our
depth. Yeah, they've probably got a stronger squad. I think they've got a stronger squad than us. Their bench was looking decent in the last few weeks. Our bench does not look decent.
They can't even make the thing. I mean, Nicolas Pepe would be near starting for us. Do you know what I mean?
One thing we haven't spoken about, Ellie, is all the charity work, or not charity work, community work. All the players.
Well, it's funny that they did that this week, isn't it?
Yeah,
I missed all of this. What have they done?
I missed all of it. Someone tell me. Someone update me.
It's so awkward. So there's a bit actually I watched on Instagram. Tsimikas and Salah were together, obviously because Tsimikas loves Salah, and Tsimikas just knocked on this random old woman's house. And she opened the door. And then he's like, oh, I'm just with Mo Salah. And she didn't recognize Tsimikas, which was just awkward in the first place. And then she's like, oh, it's Mo Salah. But Salah didn't even go up. He just stood like 5 meters back, just like sitting there. And then he went up too late. And it's really awkward. It cracked me up.
Why did they shoot it? That can't be the best.
That's the best they had.
That was so bad. They had Virgin and who else? Who went up with him?
Matip.
Yeah, they went over to some guys in the park and just given me. It was like distraction. Like, look over here, everyone. It's just like, please, can you just focus and win the game? That's all.
They must have recorded that before the start of the season. Surely they can't have done that after the last week. No, but it must have been in the bank. Surely.
Oh yeah, they must have had it planned.
Okay. I don't know why
they probably got two wins. Get everybody excited for the United game.
They need to just win this game. That's all.
That's it. That's all. That's the only thing they can do that will stop everyone from. The thing is, my worry, and this is a real worry, is that I said we're going to spank them, but my worry is that if we do, then they're going to say, "See, we don't need any players." I'll be like,
"That is the worry." You ideally want to win like 2-1, just scrape through, and then that's we've just about beaten a terrible team.
It's exactly, because otherwise they're going to be like, no, it's great. We don't need any players. We'll see. Look at us. So anyway, guys, it's been a pleasure talking with you as always. We've got a big game, big weekend ahead. Well, hopefully we get the right results to amp us up. Chelsea lose, City lose, Arsenal lose, but we'll see. Spurs lose, but we'll see. Regardless of that, guys, focus on ourselves. Monday's a big one. We're at Old Trafford and it's live. No, I'm joking. We'll be live. It'll be good. Jeez. Right, guys, have a great weekend all. Where can we find the podcast, Dre? You tell us.
You can see it on where you are listening to it now, which is Spotify, Deezer, Apple Podcasts, and so on and so on.
Fair enough. Thanks for that, Dre.
Are we reading this ending?
Peace.
Nah, it stays. It stays. Take care, guys.
Ciao.
Yeah.